The Authentic Catholic Man, an interview with Robert Falzon at the Proclaim Conference 2014.
So I'm joined today by Mr. Robert Falzon here at the Proclaim Conference 2014. So thank you for joining me, Robert.
It's my pleasure.
Now, I wanted to speak to you first of all about what it means to be an authentic Catholic man. What exactly does that mean?
Wow. Trying to define something that people for a couple of thousand years have tried to define, but from the mental life perspective, so it's not a theological perspective, it's more an anthropological perspective or about a life application perspective, we would define authentic manhood as a man who rejects passivity, this creeping passivity in our society of what's the use, I sit on the couch and let life go by, the remote control, the PlayStation sort of, I'm just going to have fun, I'm not going to worry about the world anymore, church is not interesting anymore, so I'm just going to be the passive man. So reject passivity as an intentional, deliberate action. I reject that life, I am not going to participate in that life. And then the positive response to that would be reject this passivity, accept responsibility. The mature man is a responsible man. I am responsible for my life. I will be faithful to my wife. I will be involved in my children's life. I will provide well, protect well, procreate well, and I will pray. I will be God's man. I'm going to be responsible for my interior life, exterior life, and everybody that I've been given to love, and for my church. So reject passivity, accept responsibility, and live courageously. To do the responsible life, you have to be a courageous man. Mm-hmm. It can't be done by somebody who thinks, okay, I've made the decision to be responsible, so that's great. Now I'm a responsible man.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there is so much that drives us away from living the authentic man, living for the authentic life with Christ. There's so much seduction and temptation and attraction in the world. That we have to be courageous.
Mm-hmm.
So reject passivity, accept responsibility, live courageously, and then as the reading from Mass today says, love God with all your being.
Mm-hmm.
So the authentic man, to be authentically a man and God's man in God's plan, we have to love God with all our being.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't do the job of authentic manhood just as a solo man. So the individualist, secularist society says, be the solo man, the individual man, stand on your own, make your own decisions, live your own way, love your own way, have sex your own way, do all the things your own way, and you can do it without God. The secularist mentality as well is absolute lies.
Mm.
There's nobody that does that. Nobody even gets near that. It's actually a lie. It's a false God. It's an idol. And you can't be the solo man. In fact, you have to be the man that's giving his life away to others and involved with others, which is the value of church, part of the value of church. And you have to have God in your life, which is the value of church and part of the value of church. Mm. So an authentic man rejects passivity, accepts responsibility, lives courageously and loves God with all his being.
Mm. You don't really see that much in the culture, I guess, within media, within television or film. You don't really see a lot of, through popular film and television, to a certain extent, that kind of man that you've just described there. Do you think that has a certain responsibility to bear for why men today are giving into that temptation to simply be a passive man?
Yeah. We have some magnificent movies that capture some of the great deep virtues that's in the male spiritual DNA, his psyche, and whether you agree with war or not, it's not a commentary on war, but Braveheart, Robin Hood, some of the legends, some of the great great saints, they are primary examples, and any stories about those people are great. But what we have a tendency is we have a tendency to dumb down manhood in the contemporary media. Dumb down manhood, we're the problem in society. We're the losers. We're the ones that trash our marriages. We're the ones that are violent, angry. So the fruit of passivity is not nihilism, it's anger and violence, because there's this massive frustration that comes up, and then guys, they're the one-punch society and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
this violent man, and then society goes, manhood, it should be written off. It's a problem. We don't know how to fix it, so let's just quarantine it and ignore it. And then whenever we get the chance to do the media thing, what we do is we dumb it down and we make it into a sort of hyperbolic manhood, which is unrealistic for most people to achieve, so they just give up.
Yeah. Now, of course, we're here at Proclaim, which the theme is living the joy of the gospel in parishes.
Yeah.
So what is the responsibility of the parish, or how can the parish, rather, help build up manhood?
Yeah, so that is a really good question, and it's a really hard question to answer, because what we've got is a diminishing male presence in parishes. And all the data, ABS and Bishops' Conference data, shows that men are about 25% of the attending Catholic parishes, just over 25% of attending Catholic parishes. And so, you know, one of the challenges and one of the reasons men life started was with a question rather than an answer. A lot of ministries start with an answer: we're going to go and fix this. And we're not trying to fix anything, we're just asking ourselves this question: where are all the men? So the parishes need to start asking that question. Where are all the men? Where are all the men from our parish? Where are all the young families? When I was growing up, there was babies crying and families and rows of kids and noise, and you're trying to listen to the homily and there's kids crying and dads getting up, taking kids outside.
Yeah.
There's none of that in my parish anymore. And most parishes I go to, I've been to 230 parishes in Australia doing parish men's missions, and that's just not there. Mm. So I think one of the things that we've got to do is recognise there's a problem. A lot of people stick their heads in the sand and say, no, there's no problem here. We are what we are and who we are, and we're not going to be able to make anything different. That's not true. The sort of 30 to 55-year-old take the world by the throat and shake it man, you know, the guy who's making a career, making a life, think he's changing the world, that guy we need in parishes.
Mm.
And he needs us because he needs God in his life.
Yeah.
And how do we reach those guys? And how do we reach the young men like you? You know, the young men who are idealists, dreamers, thinking that, you know, the world could be better and I could participate in making that. We need those people in our parishes. So parishes need to intentionally say there's a problem, and then we need to say, how do we go and reach these guys? We've got our grey-headed, balding 60 to 80 year olds, and they're the faithful stalwarts of the church. How are we going to reach these other guys? So one of the ways they could do that is they could start by gathering some of them and finding a way for those guys that are the guys that we actually want more of, those guys that can go and start doing something for those men. One of the ways they could do that is they could make contact with Men Alive. They could say, hey guys, come and do a parish mission for men in our parish. And classically, we would get between 30 and 80 men come to a Men Alive parish weekend. Now, the parish priest, when I say that to him, he says, no, Robert, you're dreaming. We'll never get 30 guys to come to something in our parish. We've tried to do things and we get 8, 12 guys come. So we know how to reach these guys, you know. Like we've learned how to market to these guys. You don't use brochures with Catholic Men's Retreat on it, for example, because men retreat when they see the word retreat. Or you don't use cupids and stained glass windows and pretty feminine brochures. You notice most of the Men Alive brochures are fairly masculine. There's not a lot of religious language on them, and the guys come. A lot of curious guys come. A lot of guys come. And what they find is a very down-to-earth, authentic, real men's event. And many of them come back to church. But even just as exciting as that, many men return back to their marriages ready to do something better in their marriages.
Yeah.
You know,
like
some guys come going. I remember one guy coming to one of our weekends, and he said, at the end of the weekend, he came to me. He said, you know what I do? What I did this last week? I spent the whole week looking for an apartment to move out of my home, walk away from my marriage, and walk away from my two beautiful girls, because they would be better without me than with me. But after this weekend, I'm going home to recourt my wife, and I'm going home to start to be a good father to my daughters. Like, heaven's rejoicing.
Absolutely.
Heaven's rejoicing. So the parishes could get Men Alive involved, but even simpler, they could just start gathering men in small groups. And if they go to the Men Alive website, they can download 52 weeks of small groups, small group questions and small group information, and they can tap into that and then just start running small groups for men. And they can just contact us and we'll send them a book on how to grow men's ministry in their parish. So there's lots of resources. And the Proclaim Conference has got lots of resources. Buy the Rebuild book and start reading that. There's plenty of resources for men. But they do say, a And we say in our material, and I've read it now in their material, so I think they've copied us. they say, if you can reach the man, you'll reach the marriage. If you can reach the marriage, you can reach the family. If you reach the family, you'll reach the church. And if you reach the church, you'll reach the nation one man at a time. Mm, mm.
Now, of course, you've mentioned there, with your example of the man who went home to realise he's a father and a husband.
Yeah.
Now, you'll be speaking, I believe, a little bit about that kind of the man in relationship.
Yeah.
And how important that is to manhood. Can you explain how important it is for a man to be, I guess, a social being, to discover his manhood and live out his manhood?
Oh, you're asking very, very challenging questions. You know, when God made man in the Garden of Eden, and he looked at man, he said two things. It's recorded in Genesis that God spoke, created everything, but he then spoke over his creation of man, and he said two things. The first thing he said, "This is the best thing that I ever did." Paraphrase. And then the second thing he said was, "This should not be alone. This man should not be alone." Now, God was intending two things by that, and if you read John Paul II's Theology of the Body, which spends a lot of time in the exegesis of Genesis, he says this. First thing is about the nature of man being created for woman and woman being created for man. The nature of a man and a woman, and a man and a woman becoming one, and then participating in the creative action of procreation and making human beings. But also God had in mind was the nature of man is to be solo. And the nature of man is to be individual. But God saw that from the beginning, and even the Trinity shows it shouldn't be that way. Even the Trinity shows there shouldn't be just one, the three persons, and man needed to be with others. So the relational man is actually part of God's plan. The way we do this classically, not diminishing the value of single life and celibate life, the majority of men will be called to marriage, to a woman, marriage to a woman. And how a man exercises that vocation, vocare, in his life will determine his manhood. And then how he exercises his fatherhood with his children will determine his manhood. To the degree that he's able to pour his life out for that will determine what sort of man he becomes. That'll be enough about that. I could go on and on and on. If Satan wanted to destroy families, all he had to do was try and diminish the role of fathers.
Mm.
Pull the power plug out on the fathers, and diminish the value of fathers and the importance of fathers, and even say you don't need fathers anymore, which the legal documents have all got now. Parent A, parent B, fatherhood's optional. And the feminist movement says fatherhood's optional.
Mm.
That's diminishing the nature of fatherhood, which ultimately diminishes the need for God, because God is father.
Mm.
Anyway, I'll ramble on and on and on and on.
No, it's good. And I guess if anyone wants to hear you, not ramble, but speak more, I guess they can, of course, get in contact with Men Alive, running these
parachute trips. menalive.org.au. And at the Proclaim conference, we're running a session on Growing Good Men, which is the relationship between fathers and sons, and the Growing Good Men program that we're rolling out through Catholic schools in Australia. So have a look at the website and see whether you can find something that's useful for you.
Oh, wonderful. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Of course, God bless you for your work.
Thank you.
Thanks, Robert.
Thank you.
That was an interview with Robert Falzon. For more on Men Alive, visit menalive.org.au. And for more interviews, talks, and shows, visit cradio.org.au.